Hello. Why can't I hear myself? I'm supposed to be having some music. I don't hear the music. Where did the music go? Am I loaded? There we go. There's some music. Share this out. Actually lucky that the music is playing because I don't have a song to sing along with this. My new microphone, which I absolutely love, just makes me feel like a rock star. I'm Celine Dion, people. I just feel like I'm Celine Dion. Okay, where is I made like 10 billion graphics and I don't have them in their own folder, and so I have to search for them because that's just how I roll. Where's the New Year's graphic? Guys, see on Twitter, I posted the questions, the possible questions. If you want to come on and we have nothing else to talk about, we have the questions. Posey Church Cake wanted to come on, which is kind of what I was hoping, but I don't know if she'll be able to. One reason I'm going on now, it's in the middle of the day for me, but it is a little bit later in places like England, and I don't know where everybody is. Maybe they're all out partying in the streets. They're breaking isolation and partying in the streets and hoping for the best in the future. But I wanted to, I'm gonna have to actually, after this, I gotta go to the store. My mom wanted, So for Thanksgiving, I thought I want my dad and his wife, they always make prime rib and they invite us over for Thanksgiving and then say, well, we're making prime rib for these other family members. And then we get good food. We get like macaroni and cheese. Everybody else gets the prime rib that they spent, all day slow roasting and cooking. And my family got macaroni and cheese. And I'm like, what the? Heck, that is just what. And so this year for Thanksgiving, I was away from my family. I was with my mom, and I thought, it's just the two of us. Maybe we can order in, you know, get some a prime rib dinner. I've had really good prime rib. It just is so cooked. Oh, I love it. It just melts in your mouth. And I thought, wouldn't that be great if we could order in for dinner? And my mom was like, no, we're not going to do that. We'll have turkey. She wanted turkey. She hadn't had turkey. So I made turkey. And it's just turkey. Turkey really isn't that good. It really isn't. Hello, Sabrina. Hi. Turkey it's not that fantastic. So we had turkey. And then she's like, why don't we have prime rib for dinner? She made me buy a Ninja. One of those Ninja roasting indoor. I don't even know how to use the thing. And she wants me to cook prime rib on it. Does she know how much prime ribs cost? So anyways, after this podcast, I'm going to go out and see if I can buy some prime rib or ribs or something. I don't know. And then I got to make dinner. But yeah, it's, I don't even know how to use the machine. How are you, Sabrina? If you want to call in, you could call in if you wanted to. I would love that. Anybody is welcome to call in and I'll answer the phone. It even helps, especially if I know you. If I know who you are, I'm so much more likely to answer the phone. Sometimes we get people, I don't know who they are, but they're really brave. The last time, so this Cards Against Humanity game, all bad cards game that I want to play that gets really raunchy. There was actually somebody who saw us playing it. Oh, you're too shy. There was someone who saw us playing it who wanted to join in. And so I'm like, okay, here, join in. And so he wanted to see what we were doing. So he joined in. I don't drink, which was part of the thing. My friend Becca, it was her birthday and I don't drink. And last time I had drunk, I had a lot of fun that night. So, and I didn't get a hangover because I don't drink a lot. Actually, I get to that point where I'm drinking where I'm like, okay, I've had enough. And, but I stay pretty giggly and goofy. And for a couple hours afterwards, actually, I noticed it. But anyways, I was drinking. And so what it makes me do, I just laugh more and I lose a little bit of my inhibition. I mean, I could have been really awful, people. I mean, we talked about this earlier. Ben was in the room. And the thing you don't know about Ben is kind of ish close to my age. He's a little bit younger and he's a very handsome man. And he's a very hot bodied, handsome man. And then you add that to his voice and then he has this kind of, I don't know. He is a little bit dominant in the bedroom. How do I know that? Because I've listened to his audios. That's how I know that. So anyways, Ben comes in and I don't listen to a lot of audios for that very reason, because when somebody is talking sexy in my ear, does it turn me on? It's not necessarily the turn on part. It's not the hitting the hot button part. It is the part about it that connects my brain to, like, this person is talking directly to me. So I must know this person. Oh, and since I don't have sex outside of relationship, we must be in a relationship. He must really like me. Oh my goodness. When can I go visit him? I mean, if I would I kidnap Ben? It'd probably make him really angry, but I might do it. Lock him in my basement. Oh yeah. I mean, come on. No, that would be illegal, right? Okay. Would I show up at his front door? Absolutely. I wouldn't do any, just to hear him talk. I'd probably too. I don't know. I can be pretty bold, but that's, or pretty shy and pretty bold, but that's the alcohol factor. So Ben is in the house and he don't know him really that well. He is kind of hard to get to know on a personal level, even though he does these great twitches and he's open to questions in that kind of platform. He'll answer anything. He's still, you know, connecting. He's been doing this for a while. He protects himself the way most audio artists have to, and the way any kind of adult content maker has to. And so, and I'm all about the get to know. You know, I could easily become one of those crazy stalker super fans. So yeah, when I'm drinking Ben's in the house, it's a scary, scary thing. Not necessarily the best thing. So, but he came in and we played that game and oh my goodness, we talked a little bit about DM slides. Does everybody know what DM slides? That's been a subject. That is something I would so love to explore, is the DM slide, on Twitter. If you're listening to this from somewhere else, it's a whole different thing. There are actually chat rooms where stuff happens. Nobody's ever invited me. I'm not sure I want to be invited. Maybe. I'm awful curious. Is it like the dungeon in a DS situation? Then I don't want to go. I'm not ready for that. Anyways, so the DM slide is where somebody comes in and says hello, and you say hello back, and then they kind of, with words, because, and GIFs, are you Jiffy or Giphy? Words and GIFs, they try to kind of turn the conversation around to something sexy. And so they're writing and gifting, and they can send videos too and pictures, which as a general rule, you do not want. You do not want no unsolicited dick pics. That's never okay. Or boob pics or any body part pics. So that's part of the DM slide. The creepy DM slide is hello and then pic. That's the creepy DM slide. But the friendly one is like, hiya, babe, or, you know, hello, baby girl, or hello, just, you know, hi, what you doing kind of thing. And I generally respond, is that who that is? Are you going to call in? You can call in. Let me finish my story about the DM slides, because I'm going to ask you, do you get them? So that's generally what happens. But the thing is, it happens to both men and women. Women get the creepy DM slides, but I have talked to lots of guys on Twitter who also get the creepy DM slides, which for most women who are like me and kind of more vanilla and not aggressive, and I mean, I can be aggressive, but not like ridiculous, not aggressive that way. I mean, I'll do the DM slide, but usually it's like, hi, you want to come on the podcast? You know, I'll do that, but I don't, the other, no, that doesn't happen. So, or hi, you want to write poetry with me? You know, that's my sexy talk. Or hey, let's collaborate. I will do that out of the blue. But the other kind, not so much. So, but men will get them too. They get unsolicited photos. They get, you know, hey, I want to, these sexting texts from women just out of the blue that they don't even know. Or hey, daddy, or, you know, will come in, and some of them can get very mean and very vicious, the same way a guy who's like, no, I'm not interested. And then the guy can go all, you get the message back. Well, da, da, da. I hate the word. So bitch, you know, see ya, and then disappears or whatever. And so it happens both ways, but, and it's just as common, which is another thing. Most women like me, they're like, what? Women? They're crazy women too? Really? Yes, there are. So it's always an interesting topic for me to talk about. You did slide into Ben's DM. And there's Quincy. Hey, Quincy. So, so that's a subject I would really, I've talked to a lot of guys on Twitter who have had the same issue, and I'd love to talk about that. It's a subject for me because it's so outside of, you know, real life, really. In real life, would a woman ever be that aggressive? Would she be that way? Hey, Quincy's calling in. Hello, Quincy. Oh, what happened? Call in. You were connected and then you were gone. Call again. No, no, no. You don't want to call in? A Latina woman would be that straightforward in real life? Are you working? It was an accident. Butt dial. So, it's something I I'm curious about talking about. It's an interesting subject. It only happens on, I'm sure it happens other places, but it happens a lot on Twitter. The DM slide, the hello. And one reason it happens is if you're tweeting, you know, Twitter, the not safe for work Twitter, like if you're a listener and you're not on the not safe for work Twitter, stuff happens. People who are a little bit on the exhibitionist side will show body pics, or they're trying to come to grips with body positivity and their sexuality, or just with themselves. They'll share, you know, body pics. They don't have to be adult content creators. So if you know, you come from a regular Facebook world where the censorship is so ridiculously harsh that it's hard to even share stuff if you're a romance novelist. It's a woman who might be trying to share positive body photos will be sharing those, or even a guy will be writing and expressing himself will be sharing that stuff or sharing his positive body photos. You might get, you know, even if you say somewhere in your I'm not looking for this, I'm just here for me and we can interact in the mainstream and I'm happy to do that, but don't DM slide. It's a different environment. It's very much that thing where you're at a party and maybe a woman is having a really good time and she's dressed provocatively. And does that mean she's asking for it? It's very much that. Does a provocative man or woman on Twitter really want to be approached? Some of them do, some of them don't. How do you know? How do you know, really? I mean, how do you know? I get my poetry account. My poetry is provocative. I write for one person generally, and or for myself. And I often tell people that when they come in, it'll be the first thing I say, hey, I'm willing to talk with you, but I already write with somebody and we're not going to be any dirty sexting. But do I ask for, is my provocative writing an invitation? Is my exhibitionist photo, is my trying to come to terms with my body positivity, is that an invitation? So it's an interesting subject. Subtweets, perhaps. No, it is not an invitation. And it generally isn't, you know, unless you're putting it out there. And some people do. Some people will be like, please, you know, send me pictures. Please sign into my, I'm so lonely. And, you know, those are great. They're voicing their needs, what they want. They're being honest. They're being open. They're telling you, you know, they're setting their boundaries or whatever. And they're letting you know what their situation is. But the other provocative is no. But sometimes people don't know. And what the thing is, the point is that it's both men and women that sometimes don't realize that just because somebody's being provocative doesn't mean they want someone to aggressively come in and ask for sex. And it's an interesting subject to me because it's about communication. It's about your personal story. It's about how we interact as people on these unique and different platforms. And Steppenwolf, if you want to call in, you are absolutely welcome to. You just hit that chat head and then I could talk to you. Am I saying it right? You know, when I read it, it says Steppenwolf. So that's what I'm saying. I hope I'm saying it right. Steppenwolf is on Twitter and he has been writing some really provocative tweets that are really good. The writing that you get in the tweets and it's such a unique experience. I was talking about that in several of my interviews with Secret Sub, actually, because you're limited to a certain amount. Can you do a thread? Can you not do a thread? How much power and sensuality or provocation or feeling or emotion can you get in that little box of words? Sometimes you can add a picture, but I mean, how much can you do? And it is a great challenge. Some people are really, they just go for the gut. Like if you go on Twitter and you follow Daddy Writing, Daddy Writing, I think that's who he is. Daddy Dom Writing. He his are raw. His little stories that he posts that women love are really raw. They're very aggressive. They're extremely dominant. And they are just all the words. He doesn't hold anything back. But Stephen Wolf is a little bit more like me. He's a little bit more, what is the word I'm looking for? It's obvious, but there's a little bit more poetry in his recent tweets, which of course, you know, I like, because if I can write a poem that is about something really sensual and provocative and have it sound like something different, that's a win-win for me, especially when somebody comes into my DMs and they're like, I could be writing about vacuum cleaners. you have no proof that I'm writing just because you are responding. I'm glad that you're getting that from my poetry. That's awesome. But really, that was about my favorite vacuum cleaner. That's the goal. I mean, to do good writing, you need a headset to call in. Oh, yes, you do. You need earbuds because otherwise it won't work. I would love to have you. Romantic. I would love to have you call in. So yeah, I like the difference in the, sometimes I like, you know, either or. I like raw writing. I like direct writing. But to write it, I prefer the romantic. I prefer being raunchy, but making you have to think about how it's raunchy. some of the E.E. Cummings, and there's a poem called The Fig. There are these that are really decadently, you know, sensual, but you have to pause and think why. Why does that trigger you? Why did that? I tend to do a lot of poetry about food. Because food is essential. Good food is essential experience, and if it gets all your senses, the textures, the smells, the sight of it, the colors, like a pomegranate. There is so much sensual in a pomegranate, seeds, in the peeling of a pomegranate, in the juice that gets all over your fingers, in this way it stains your lips as you eat the seeds. There is a lot of sensuality in there to mine. And if you can equate that with an encounter that you dream of having or have had with somebody, that, that's one of my, I did it. I said what I felt, but I used an allegory or a metaphor that takes it away from the words, like I was reading from my book earlier. The character Dare is very down to earth, very graphic and very raw, and he uses all the words. And so I was using his words. And if I can get it away from that, though, and still be graphic, that's a very cool thing for me. Cherries, absolutely. And emojis to cover nipples. Yeah, I'm talking to the chat, of course. I actually have a poem about cherries and wine. Cherries, wine, and chocolate, dark chocolate. Cherries, wine, dark chocolate. Oh, see, that, you know, that sounds like a kind of decadent, but the poem is actually cherries, wine, dark chocolate, and a belt. And so that changes it right there. You add a belt to any poem and suddenly it's BDSM. You recorded yourself eating a cherry cordial. It's very nice. Is it not safe for work, Quincy? That's Quincy saying that. So Quincy has released, and I haven't shared it out yet. I've been saving it. I know you've shared it out to other places, but I'm saving it tomorrow for New Year's Day. I'm going to do two podcasts, two pre-recorded podcasts going to be released tomorrow. One from CD Pulley, where she is talking about... women are not coming. She did an article. She did a research on an article about women who are in, allow themselves in to be in relationships where they're not finding any kind of fulfillment and not going to taking responsibility for their own fulfillment. And these are not women who are my age in their 50s or 40s or 30s. These are young women going into relationships where they're not getting anything out of it physically. And if you're not really getting what you need physically, then you're missing a big part of your emotional needs. I can just tell you from experience. So anyways, so Sadie Pulley did this great article, and she's actually really passionate about this. It's kind of a feminism issue for her. And then she's a Black woman, and it's also a feminine issue on her, on that side of it. Oh, and Quincy, she's the one who wants to see more BDSM in regards to people of color. And, you know, she would love, she's actually writing one. So, I am posting that with her tomorrow. And I'm also going to post my interview with Quincy. I don't know if you saw my questions, but I posted 30 questions on Twitter. They are my not safe for work questions. And I go through some of those questions with Quincy. And I'm going to post those tomorrow and then share this incredible audio that he did. And I'm going to, you have to go and look at his feed because I'm saving it. It's a special thing for me. Yeah, it's a special thing. So I'm going to post that. Quincy and CD are tomorrow because the new year, positivity, taking what you need for yourself, going out there. Not for me, my word of the year, I have a word of intention. Does anybody ever do a word of the year, a word of intention? My word of intention of the last 2 years has been permission. And when I went into that word, I thought it meant something else. But what it turned out to mean in a very spiritual way was permission to be myself. And that put me in a lot of transition. I mean, it literally changed my life in massive, massive ways. And some of it was painful, has been very painful, not just for me, but for others. But yeah, so it was permission. I had that word for 2 years. And this year, my word is live, because we have been in this last year, 2020 was like this year of death. Wherever you were politically, wherever you were health-wise, wherever you were socially on the spectrum, wherever you were in your spiritual views, it just felt like this year of bombardment of death. Oh, you're going on with Vanilla tonight and you're going to repost with yours. Okay, yes, because I'm posting tomorrow and I'm going to share like crazy. That's Quincy. I was looking. For some reason, I'm not scrolling today. I don't know why, but my chat's not scrolling. And so I have to do it manually. And I cannot wait. But anyway, so yeah, 2020 was a year of death. And even though I had permission, it felt like very much like going into rebirth. And so 2021 for me, my word is really simple. It's just live. You know, the world is scary, and we can feel sorry for ourselves, just to be blunt, and feel afraid and hide in our homes and be consigned to our homes and feel like we're just dying and give up and give into that depression and that woebegone feeling that and become Eeyore. There's Posey, and oh my gosh, there's Stefan. Oh my goodness. And there's Shelly. Yay. So, but 2020 we can just give up and feel like the world is against us. Everybody hates us. The world's going to hell. And we can just be angry and upset and start digging our grave. And I am not going to do that. My word for 2021, and I don't care what circumstances happen. I mean, a tornado could destroy my house and I am not going to give this up. I am still going to live. I am not going to lay down and let circumstances in the world just take over and eat up what is rest of my, what I have for the rest of my life. I am 50 And I have regrets, things that I wanted out of my life that I did not take when I was younger. I was too afraid, this, that, and the other thing. And things about being myself that I did not live out, like even the writing. I'm not doing that. I am going to live. And I just want to invite you to join me in that journey of choosing, no matter how awful, how many people around you. I mean, seriously, we're going to lose people. My dad's wife right now is in the ICU fighting for her life. She has COVID. I was exposed to COVID and had to take a test, and was so worried I was going to give it to my mom. I don't have it. I actually tested negative. It's so funny about those tests. You test negative and they're like, you still have 50% chance of having it. I actually think I'm immune. I've been exposed to it several times. But, you know, my dad is facing a really hard time, and I could choose to stay there and be sad and unhappy, but death is a part of life, and I am not going to die until I'm on my deathbed. That is my choice. And I hope that I don't seem like a Pollyanna or a crazy person, because I'm so determined. But I have been asleep for way too long to waste any more time. So yeah, I am absolutely determined to live. Oh, Shelby's calling in. And Stefan is calling in.
Oh, hello.
And Posey, you could call in too. Hi guys, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh,
no.
I was just listening to your eyes. I love your little your meaning of life. You know, you're just going for it. I love it.
Well, goodness, girl, you know, you have been through so many things. You had to come for that moment where, you know, all the things that you've suffered, where you had to probably make the same kind of decision.
God, yeah. That,
you know, where I could just give up and feel sorry for myself, or I'm going to live. And that's kind of where I'm at.
I think that's a great message. Just go for it. Life's too short.
Hi, Posey.
Hi there, Robin.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing really good.
Good.
Oh, Posey's very quiet.
Oh, am I sorry? Can you hear me now?
Oh no, it's not that. You've got a very quiet voice.
Oh.
It's just because he's used a nice squeaky loud voice. That's what it is.
No, I really liked what you said as well, and about, I'm not going to die till I'm on my deathbed. That is so, so true. Because
yeah,
I have actually had cancer and recovered from it.
Oh,
and
wow.
My friend said to me, I didn't tell hardly anybody. It came upon me so quickly, and they managed to sort it out very quickly too. So I'm a lucky, lucky lady. But when I did tell one of my best friends, she said, please do not live a beige life because you're so scared. Because you do feel very fragile after something like that.
Oh,
she said,
yeah.
Please grab it, live it. And that's the message you're saying too. And that is what I would put out into the world.
Yeah,
that's definitely,
I mean, even if we're locked in our houses, there's still ways to you know, be crazy and still live and still grab every bit of it, and you know not fall asleep. And yeah,
well, just ask Stefan, you know, he never gets in its teeth from the year. Is that not right, Stefan?
That's about right.
Are you locked in your house, Stefan? You can't go, but Shelley's done it.
Well, kind of. I've taken on a courier's job in the meantime.
Oh.
And any minute I'm not out delivering parcels, I've got Shelley on the phone. Let's just say talking to me.
Squeaking.
That's wonderful, though. I mean, I like that. That you're so available to her at all.
Oh. Yeah, at all times. Even when he's out doing his other work now, he says, now, Shelley, you can't interrupt me while I'm working. I'm like, oh, not at all. Well, try not to, unless it's urgent. So now I feel urgent at the start of the message, so he knows to look at it.
It's always a little urgent somewhere.
Look at him.
That are really the urgent nuts that he says, otherwise just sip it.
I was going to bring back to what you were saying earlier, Iso, and what Posey was saying. My dad died at the start of this whole outbreak.
Oh, wow.
And we were all under lockdown. I was a couple hundred miles away from him at the time. So I had to arrange a funeral remotely and things like that. It was what's called a pauper's funeral. And for 2 months after that, I was still driving around with his ashes in the boot of my car.
True story.
And the ashes are now under my bed somewhere.
Under your bed somewhere.
Because I can't get the gathering together for his friends, his family, and everybody else that would want to say goodbye to him. It is strange times. It's something that we've all come to expect. Yeah, exactly, Posey. So, like I say, I've got his ashes under my bed, which is quite surreal. I suppose it's slightly better than the boot of my car. But one of these days, we will get to say goodbye to him.
Yes.
And we'll do it in style, and we'll raise a glass, all the rest of it. And 2020 has been a weird year. 2021 will probably start as a weird year, but we'll find a way through it somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of Stefan's positivity. He's so good at that.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Positivity is a good thing. I was thinking about it today. Does it turn me into a Pollyanna to just be constantly, you know, you got to look up. You can't let those lies that are in your head. There was somebody, you know, I'm not good enough. And I just come to that real. And I'm like, you know, I don't know anybody who's not ever had at some point in their life that moment where they've said to themselves, probably when they were, it starts when you're a kid, right? I'm not good enough. It can be just some little thing and it plants a seed and then it plays over and over. I'm not good enough, or I can't do it, or nobody wants me, and then it plays over and I'm like, you need to put a new tape on in your head. Put something else, you know, that, you know, because then all your circumstances suddenly reflect that.
Totally.
If that's all you see about yourself, that's all your circumstances. Well, everybody leaves me. And so you can find 20 people that leave you and you forget the two really loyal people that have been there through thick and thin and that have held your hair while you're vomiting in the toilet and all the other things. You forget about them because you're so, all these other people have left you. Well, maybe they were supposed to leave you. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And the positivity. I'm on a kick.
You don't need the dead wood in your life. What you need is the positive people in your life, and you have to remember who they are.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, Stefan, we need you back on Twitter. What's going on with that? Can you start a new account? Or are you like totally? They know your IP address, and you can never get in. Or what is?
I think they know my IP address. I've had backup accounts that I haven't used in a long, long time. And I tried signing onto one of those immediately after I found out my main account was suspended, and they were suspended as well.
Oh my gosh.
So I think I'm banned based on my IP, rather than just my email address or my Twitter name or anything else.
So you can't even start a new account. You can't do anything. They know you're like so blocked out that you can't even.
I think so. I'm waiting to find out. I have appealed, of course. And I've had the automated message saying my appeal is being heard or adjudicated or reviewed, whatever they want to call it. I don't know if there's a court of law for Twitter anymore. And in the meantime, if I try to start any more accounts, they will be instantly banned.
Oh, wow.
Hi, Quincy. Andy. Quincy wants to know how you're done, Stefan. We don't know is the honest answer.
Really. I guess it's because I post pornographic material.
Because nobody does that.
Yeah, I'm the only person on Twitter that posts anything pornographic, and therefore I'm worthy of a ban.
It's so bizarre. Yeah, people can get away with, and some people cannot, isn't it?
It's crazy. Even lately, my own personal account and Indulgent Desires are both targeted lately as well. Fortunately, not suspended. But banned. So yeah, it's like, what the hell is going on just now?
Yeah, I know you were saying maybe somebody reported you, but still to have it be that intense that even your IP address, you know, I had, there was an account on Twitter that they pop up every now and then that pirated books, not just my books, but a bunch of other books. I had to report that thing 5 or 6 times and it took 2 weeks to get it off. And just get, boom, he's gone.
Exactly. I've seen so many people stealing my photos, and I've reported them through DMCA's Digital Media Copyright Act. And Twitter have been really good, actually. They've taken them down fairly quickly. But what they have to do is submit my name, my address, as in my real address, through to the person who's breaching my copyright. If somebody reports me for breaking Twitter rules, posting pornographic material or something like that, they don't have to supply anything. So there are people out there in the world that know who I am, where I live, because I've reported them. But I don't know who...
them getting revenge kind of thing.
It could be anybody. But it's a twisted world, shall we say. If you do things by the book, you have to give your real name, your address, your telephone number, your email address, and all of that gets submitted.
Yeah.
If somebody says, oh, it's revenge porn, they don't have to say anything.
Yeah, you don't have to. I know you're not the only, there's a couple that was, just a gorgeous couple, and they posted like give their own GIFs and stuff. Braun Dom, do you know that? And Galaxy
yes.
Girl. And they were banned several times and they've disappeared. I hope they contact me because I was hoping to interview them. I really wanted a chance to interview them. And they're like,
and they both disappeared.
They did. They both disappeared. And I have no other way to contact them other than Twitter. And if you guys hear me, you can email me. It's isawellen.rides@gmail.com. But I'd love to talk to them. But yeah, I had, when I asked where they went, apparently somebody had reported them several times over and over again.
Shit, isn't it?
Yeah, they kept having, they'd start a new account, they had shadow accounts, and I think the same thing happened, that their IP addresses actually got banned. And I've seen their stuff, and yeah, but it's no more than anything else. There's somebody who just posts GIFs all the time. What is it, Dirty Mom or something? I don't know.
Yeah, Kinky Mom or something like that.
Kinky Mom, she's like a famous, the account's almost famous. She's, and some of hers are just as bad as anything.
Yeah. I see, follow a few accounts like that that's just all stuff like that. And it's like there's one rule for one person and a whole different set of rules for somebody else.
Yes, exactly. And it's just not, if you're going to, I hate that. If just one rule, Amazon does that too. Just one rule for everybody, please. Just one, let's be consistent. Consistency.
Exactly.
I'd vote for that.
Well, yeah, I'd been asked why you had and if there was any chance of you coming in, coming back, and I really hope you can come back. You are missed.
Oh, I hope I can too. I miss the banter apart from anything else. there was a whole conversation earlier on Indulgent Desires and Shelley and Max Bonney about spanking that I couldn't get involved in.
Oh, yeah, you just had time to do this out in that little chat.
Oh no. So you guys have talked to Posey before, right? I mean, she's really been great about getting everybody kind of involved in some of the Posey, the you're foodies. Awesome.
Yeah,
you're
totally
tweeting and you're sharing and you're
this is my reputation really on Twitter. It's bugger all to do with my erotic writing. It's my team mum kind of behavior, you know. Ooh, do you know this person? Hey, you'd like this. Why don't you try this? And look what they're doing over here. And I'm always just introducing people to memes and to competitions. And, oh, look, I knew there was someone that was trying to buy sex toys but didn't have much money. And I'd be going, oh, this sex toy company's got a sale on. And, yeah, that's me right in the middle hooking everybody up.
It's fantastic, though. I love it. It's great. Oh. Thank and it's you. Nice to chat on this podcast as well.
Thank you. Yes, it's nice to hear your voices. I do love a Scottish accent.
It's so funny. I say to Stefan every time, I don't even think I sound Scottish. And when I listen back to podcasts and stuff, I'm like, oh my God, Stefan, I just sound like a squeaky mess. I don't even sound Scottish. He's like, oh my God, Shelley. You so sound Scottish.
You really do.
I'm almost relieved.
All right, Shelley, can you be quiet just for one moment?
I'll try.
Okay. So I know there's only ISO and Posey that are sort of dialed in at the moment, but for anybody else who is listening and able to type, let's have a quick vote. Does Shelley sound Scottish?
Okay, everybody. There are other people here. So does Shelley sound Scottish? Just type your answer into the chat.
Yeah. Okay. We've got two yeses so far.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's funny.
Hell to the hell, yeah, from Quincy. Hello again, Quincy.
Oh, yeah, that's about it. That's all who's here right now, so there you go.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's unanimous then.
But Posey and ISO, would you say yes as well?
Almost definitely, yes. I have an editor friend, Tabitha Rain. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's the editor over at Frolic Me, and she's also invented her own sex toy as well as being a very sexy author. And she's got a very similar, I hope she won't be cross with me, because maybe it's a different region of Scotland, but to me, her accent sounds very similar to yours, Shelley.
Oh, how exciting. I'm so glad you all think I sound Scottish. and not just squeaky.
No, not just squeaky. No, not squeaky at all.
Oh, no, she's very squeaky, but she's Scottish as well.
And Quincy's from America, is he? So is he, Quincy, are you good at differentiating between our different accents, or do we all just sort of sound like, so, last time I was on, someone said I sounded like Victoria Beckham, which didn't exactly compliment me. Because I know she's called Posh Spice, but she isn't really posh.
My friend Touch Type, he, when we first met, we were just writing, and he was very, I thought his writing was very dignified. And after I said that, and also he had recorded some, it was before he had recorded the Stranger on the Bus and some other stuff for me. Oh, the Corona Curio, before he recorded that. He gave me a whole long thing about English people are really, I mean, Americans, you know, we usually can tell kind of regional, but you guys, your accent, you know, and if I give you the wrong accent and say, are you... I got a lecture in that email must have been 3 pages long about history and about different accents, because I think I had called him a gentleman and he explained to me why he was not and how it related to his accent and the different influences on his, I mean, it was kind of cool. The different influences on his accent. Touchtype had been a journalist and he had done some work very probably, I don't know, kind of community outreach is what we'd call it here. Kind of work all through his life and had been involved in all kinds of even like police departments and trying to bring things together. Here he would be a liberal kind of working towards, building, I don't know, just peace in general. But he'd been a journalist. So he had this incredible life that he would always unfold. And he kind of was a sponge. He was always absorbing things. And so in his emails, I haven't talked to him for a while. I don't know if he lost, he got a new computer part of it. I'm hoping that's what it is. I'm hoping he's okay. But his email about accents, I got a lesson. And then I was expected to remember it, which was, not going to. I'm like, okay, you're writing to me about accents that I cannot, and explaining how they sound. And that, I have to hear it.
Well, here's a quick lesson between the Black Country and Birmingham.
Okay.
But Black Country is where the yam come from, and they're called yam yams. And Birmingham, where the yow come from, and they're called yo-yos.
Yeah, I'm lost too. I have no idea either, Isaac.
Well, even my friend Evil Scotsman, his accent's different than yours because he has no problem saying horseradish.
Oh, God. Oh, no. He comes from Glasgow then.
He has no problem saying horseradish. So
I've been practicing. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. It's the errors that are in the wrong place. What's that, sorry?
How do you say it?
Uh-oh.
Just say it naturally.
Horseradish. I can't. Horseradish.
Very good.
I just can't get it together for that word. I just can't.
Posey, do you mind me asking, whereabouts in the UK are you from?
I'm from the home counties. So
okay.
I'm not quite Essex. I'm on the border of Essex, but I went to private school, so I think that sort of rubs different edges or puts edges on your accent. I'm not sure.
No, I'd agree with that. I went to private school as well. Not that you'd know these days. And I think you end up with a slightly polished accent.
Mm.
Yours, I couldn't place at all. I can listen to most people and place where they are in the UK. Other than... I mean, you said home counties, and I thought, okay, well, yeah, I could agree with that, but it could have been Essex, Sussex, Surrey, any one of them, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's what's happened. I mean, I used to sort of, one of my nicknames at work was Posh Potty, but when they started putting Made in Chelsea on television, sorry, you won't know this, Iserlin, but it's some very, very rich people from a certain area of London. And they talk so poshly that I think to myself, oh, good God, I can't really call myself posh anymore.
I can understand your quandary, shall we say.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I really want to be all kind of, oh, yeah, like them, because it sounds, they're kind of, I know there's accents like this in America too, like the Bostonian accent. And accent. They sort of almost sound bored with life. And, you know, who wants to sound bored with life?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I guess my friend Johnny, he's New Jersey, so that's not Bostonian. He's New Jersey. Quincy could probably put on an accent. He doesn't have an accent, but he's been enough places that he could probably do a bunch of accents with us.
Every time I've been on these podcasts, Quincy has been there in the background.
Isn't I know, he? I was just thinking that.
I think Quincy should dial in.
Quincy, your top cheerleader.
Are you working, Quincy? Can you dial in? Quincy's my boo.
And I think the guys from Six Sheets.
Ah, he's driving.
Driving.
Oh, he's driving. Six Sheets
say they might be around tonight. Reggie and.
Yes, they might. They'll probably come on later. Actually, Reggie just DM'd me. I wonder, I don't know if they have work today. Yeah, they are around.
It was so funny. They did a little a message for Neon of their podcast.
They did.
Did you hear that? They had. They were trying to work out how to pronounce Stefan and I's names, but they actually did really, really well. It was quite funny listening to them trying to work it out.
I talk about them all the time, don't you?
I've got to say, that was hilarious.
So they
pretty much got Shelley straight away. I mean, there was a little bit of debate around about Hossack.
Hossack, yeah.
But then it was the whole Stefan.
I do it too, but
I say the way you say Stefan, I absolutely adore. I could fall in love with you just the way you say my name.
I totally agree. I think the same thing. I can't say it like that. It's beautiful.
I think it sounds very Russian to me, but
strangely enough, it is an East European name.
Is it?
It comes from Poland.
I know that name are Russian, so I tend to put that in.
Yeah, it comes from Poland originally. I know that the Welsh have a variation on it, and I think the French do as well. But it's all dependent upon how it's spelt, so... The French would probably say it more like you with the Stefan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a Polish accent. I don't. Can anybody else produce a Polish accent?
Oh, Jesus, don't try. Don't try.
Oh, Six Sheets is here.
That's Reggie.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Reggie.
Everybody's meeting today. Oh, I love that.
Did you hear us just saying about your podcast, trying to pronounce Stefan and I's names? That was so funny. That was so good.
Yeah, it was a good podcast. It's a really good podcast, your tweet shout-out podcast. Did you guys get a lot of questions for Ask Reggie and everybody, the crew questions? Did you get a lot? I mean, I got, 30 on Twitter I could ask, but...
We got a few.
You got a few?
Not as much as the turnout wasn't as heavy as the shout out love episodes. So.
Oh yeah, that's because everybody, you know, wants to say nice things about each other. I would never do that. I would never say, you know, I don't know. I'm afraid if I put that out there, nobody will ask me anything. So I never do that.
Well, that's kind of what we're dealing with right now. So.
Or you do those little things, you know, okay, I'm just going to post this and the memes where on Twitter where, you know, people have to respond what they think about you or whatever. And I never do those either. Like,
well,
nope,
I'm so scared. You're like,
do you feel it?
My thing with that kind of situation is like, there's nothing that no one will say anything meaner than what Andrew and I have said to each other.
Well, I'm not worried about the mean. I just worried about the silence. I mean, I could take the mean.
Yeah.
But the echo? No, I can't take that. Right? No, I can't do that. So
no, I'm with you on that one, Isa. If you post an engagement thread or something like that and nobody responds, there's nothing worse.
Oh, no, even horrible responses are better than nothing. This is like, oh, no, I'll delete it. I'll go back.
Yeah.
Delete. So it never happened.
Yeah,
nothing
I didn't do
to
that.
See I'm... here. Move on.
Yeah, nothing. I'm so ashamed. I just don't even look. Don't look. I'm sorry. I tried to do that. So, Posey, what are you working on now? You're doing so many things. You're connected to so many things. While you're here, I want to ask and see what you're working on, what projects you're doing. I'd love to give you a chance to share that out. And I know the English gentleman sent me his audio. I am going to share that probably when I repost that. There's a wonderful audio from a story I believe you wrote get to share that he narrated. And I'm looking forward to that. I haven't listened to it yet. I haven't had a chance.
Yes. He's doing. That's another one of my flash fictions. Do you remember I said that you get challenged to write something that's going to be under 500 words?
Oh, yes.
He's reading one of those. I've been working almost all of 2020 with a lovely friend of mine called Eve Ray. Shout out to Eve Ray. She's from the Black Country. And we have been writing something called Delphine School Days. And it's set back in the 1950s. She got me to watch this very obscure German film that she absolutely adores, where it's sort of like, it's got very strong lesbian undertones without actually being that. It's just a girl getting a massive crush on her teacher, and when it's under the price of love, she tries to kill herself.
I'm going to mute you.
We've been writing this series where we write backwards and forwards, pass it backwards and forwards to each other. And I write as Delphine, this French aristocrat who's come to a boarding school. And the headmistress just thinks she's far too uppity. And the headmistress just wants to crush her at every turn. But the headmistress has got a masochistic side to her. So Delphine's being a little bit, she's just manipulating everybody. She's got a girl completely crushing on her, and she's got the headmistress trying to humiliate her without overstepping the line. So the headmistress is getting off on it, but nothing improper happens between the headmistress and the girl. It's hard to explain, but yes, it's had quite a following. So we're still... I think we'll continue to pass that back and forth a bit longer with the intention of turning that into a book at some point.
That's exciting.
Mm. Yeah. We've really had a lot of fun with that because Eve writes the headmistress, and she sort of does a side thing of the headmistress going off and getting her kicks at a brothel. And the brothel is run by one of the old girls of the boarding school. And that's all got a bit dodgy because the headmistress has been arrested now and gone to prison.
If you needed a photographer who needed some, you know, girl on girl erotic photography, I know somebody who has a lot of that. It makes me think of it right away. I don't know why,
I possibly shoot something to order as well.
Wow. Yeah, so if you needed something like that, you know, I know a guy.
that is always an option. I will put that to Eve and see what she thinks.
I love the idea of, that's been one of the best things about Twitter is collaborating with these voice artists and meeting Stefan and being able to write for his photographs I love that. My bucket list this year is I'd love to turn my first book. I think it'd make it very naughty, but it'd make a decent graphic novel. But
I think that's a really, really cool idea. I love it.
Yeah, that would be, that's my button, you know, my great get for this year. Connect with a graphic artist to do that for me. But last year it was meeting these incredible voice artists like like Quincy and Ben and other people who will narrate for me, and being able to, and then writing specifically for them. And even Johnny, my friend Johnny, who will, you know, he's such a sweetheart. He'll do, I'll be like, would you do this? And he's like, well, I've never done that before, but sure.
You know? I do think you've got a lot of great narrators on your follow list, and I mean, some of the podcasts that I listen to are superb. Yeah. I couldn't even begin to compete. But whenever you need the bad poetry,
oh yes, I
you
need
know
to write.
You have a man in me.
I've been thinking about that because Shelley said maybe I should write. Would you be willing to? I mean, it would be real. I can't say it to your face. I feel like Shelly and I were
why
talking.
Do I feel about there's it? Something being discussed that I don't know about.
No, okay. No. We were. I was. I approached her and asked her if maybe I could write something, and she said, "Oh yes, go for it. That'd be hilarious."
Yeah, I did. I said, "Definitely. You have to."
about your feelings of. I can't say it.
I'm like, your cock.
Yeah, there you go. About your feelings about your cock, your relationship with your, oh, here you go, tallywhacker. I can say that. And it would be so fun because there are at least three hundreds of euphemisms for that particular male body part. And you could really wax poetic about all the things you could do with your, what, Slim Jim? Is that another one? Oh,
his toes are sick.
Slim Jim.
Right. Okay. Posey, six mm-hmm. sheets. Can somebody bail me out here?
No, you're on your own with this one.
You offered to read some raunchy poetry, so I mean, I think I did, but
I didn't know it would turn around to be about my own tackle.
Well, it would be about your being tackle, but you know, it would be about a man waxing poetic about his own personal bait and tackle. Bits and pieces, right? I think that would be. Now I've got the hang of it. Okay, now.
Right, Shelley, what have you done?
Hey, listen, it's just payback for the other times that you've made me say words that you know I can't say.
Horseradish.
And there was another word. There was another word, and I'm not saying it. I still can't say it.
I totally can relate to that, you know, not being able to say certain words.
Yeah, thanks, Quincy. it was my bro 10 minutes ago.
I could ask you know, oh, I could ask Evil Scotsman to read it. He probably would, but no. I had it. We read that same one that I had you and Shelley read, my daddy doms, and
That was so funny. I could hardly breathe for laughing.
And you did excellent reading without a straight face. So come on. I mean, I think it would be. I'm going to do that. I need to. That's one of my goals. I'm going to be putting that out there on today. It's at some point.
I'm going to wax poetry.
Beg your pardon? Euphemism? Yeah, it's yes. Euphemism poetry. That's what I call it.
I think there's a market for that. You want to get Jupy on that because Jupiter Grant, do you remember?
Oh,
interview. She can do the voiceover if Stefan
oh
is
my gosh.
Being shy. And she can write poetry too.
Oh yes, that yeah. It's just ridiculous, dirty euphemism poetry. There's actually a website that has a list of. That's what I cheat. A list of all of them, and they're worldwide. So there's some English ones on there, and I have no idea how they make any kind of connection to any body part. I don't even begin to know why.
I don't know about Americans, but English insults are often to do with body parts, aren't they?
I think Posey, when you hear dollops of horseradish sauce, you'll never have a roast beef dinner in the same way again.
Oh no, definitely not.
Oh, I've ruined Danish pastries for someone in exactly the same way.
Please tell.
Well, in one of my stories, I think it was probably a tit wank was happening.
Oh!
And I said that the jizz decorated her tits like a icing on a Danish pastry. And this friend of mine, he's one of my writing partners, he said he can never look at a Danish pastry the same.
Yeah, Quincy's ruined Cinnabons for me, so, you know, I'll never have one again. So, you know, it's cinnamon buns with the frosting on the top. He's ruined it. Yeah, I'll be posting very that similar. Podcast where he talks about that tomorrow. So,
I guess my podcast should probably do an episode about food.
You should. That's a thing, right? There's a whole
awkward. Yeah.
I want to do a photo shoot that Stefan involved in food.
Oh, with the real, the whole, you know.
Yeah. We've done ice. That's not really food, though, is it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Is ice considered food?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not really food, is it?
You've done ice and you've done wax, but you
need to do syrup and cream and sprinkles.
We've done coffee.
Oh, we've done coffee, yeah.
Yeah, we did coffee. Coffee was really beautiful, though. All I see is there's beautiful Shelley, but I'm like, coffee.
Yes, I was the same. I was like, how soon can I get this shoot over and done with so I can grind it and actually drink the damn stuff?
I know. I bet it smelled really amazing.
So is Shelley the body in Stefan's images? Is that how your dynamic works?
Most of my images, yes.
Uh-huh. Most of his current images, yeah.
His older stuff, not so much.
Shelley, when I'm starting to be able to recognize female body parts.
I know.
This is an older image. No, that's not Shelley. You know?
Yeah, I think it's the stein. It's something to do with my stein and maybe that ass. I get that quite a lot. People DM me like, yeah, that's your ass, is it, Shelley? I'm like, yeah. And they all say it's the dentals at the top that get that away. I'm like, oh, are you okay?
Yeah.
You did get one wrong the other day, though, Isa.
Did I tag it? It was the spanking one, wasn't it? What?
No.
Which one was it?
No. It wouldn't be fair to say.
Oh.
It was a rude one.
Oh, it was a rude one?
I think you might have thought that the lips belonged to a different girl.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I'd have to look. Lips. You don't have any. Oh, I don't. Now I need to. Oh, I better go look.
Or maybe you were tagging me and make sure that we saw it, even though you didn't think it was.
Yeah, I was doing that for some of them because.
Yeah, I think you knew it wasn't me.
Because I knew it was Stefan's photography.
Yeah, and he's tagging.
I can't tag you.
Yeah.
So, and so I just tagged Shelley and ID both. So if I'm using your, because I have to, you know, give credit, but it doesn't really show up now.
Oh, Posey's got to leave.
Oh, Posey, thank you so much for joining.
Oh, it's so lovely to talk to you. I hope we can chat again soon, and I shall be following you all closely.
Yeah, and I hope you join in our ID theme days. It's great to have you on board.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I certainly will. I quite like flashing my legs in the photos.
Oh, good. We like it too.
And I was going to say, and thank you for retweeting lots on our behalf. It was most unexpected and much
brilliant.
Appreciated.
Yeah,
it's no problem. I do like to cheerlead for people.
And here's hoping you have a happy, healthy 2021.
Thank you so much, and right back at all of you.
Yes, okay, yes. Have a great year. Bye-bye. Oh, that was so wonderful that everybody could be on at the same time. That's kind of fantastic.
I sort of saw it on Twitter, and I was like, oh, my God, Stefan, I just don't like the podcast. Anybody can dial in. We have to do this.
Aww, you're so sweet.
I might be dumb in the relationship, but there are times when I have no choice.
How can he resist this squeaky girl? I mean, really, come on.
How does your dynamic work long distance? I mean, literally, Shelly, I've asked Shelly, do you keep a list of spanking? I mean, of owed spankings for when you get together? How does that?
Yes, Stefan, how does that work?
I don't need a list.
You just know she's going to owe. You're going to owe. She's going to owe.
You just
anyway.
Commit them to memory.
Yeah. And I just know how hard, how many, and any and other punishments that might be owing.
And I'm like, fuck, here we go again. Why did I just keep the mouth shut, Jesus?
You're a brave woman. I don't know. You know, I could... there's so much I could say here, but I can't talk about it.
There's a fine line between bravery and stupidity.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards, like, the latter there. I mean, seriously.
Right, I'm going to say very quickly, just in case, I've just had a battery alert level on my headphones.
Oh, okay.
So if I drop out, I'm not being rude.
We'll just talk about you later.
So if you drop out, I have to take up the mantle.
Yeah, you have to take up the mantle. You have to take up the mantle. So, wait, I'm still curious about that. The Dom, you know, how that works. That's a really, because you guys are like, you know, you're 24/7. It's still kind of, it's just part of your dynamic, part of who you are as a couple, right? Is that how that, it's not?
Oh, Stefan's gone. Oh, he's gone. He, God damn it. He timed that perfectly, didn't he?
Yeah, he it died. You get one blip, you get one notice, and then he's gone. Well, fine. I'll just have to ask later, because I'd love to hear from you both, because it's a question. I have actually a time. I should make a list.
You should, Isla. You should definitely make a list.
We need to do a full-on interview, because that was the thing kind of I wanted to ask Brondom and Galaxy Girl, because I know they do a lot of knife play, and I wanted to talk a lot about the psychological aspects of the, you know, the trust and the intimacy and how that works, and then the aftercare. Somebody was telling me that, that we don't talk enough about aftercare. So I wanted to spend a lot of time, you know, focusing on the aftercare, which is why that poem that Tom and I wrote, we had to stop and have the ending had to involve the aftercare. And we'll just talk about all the other stuff, the fun stuff, the whips and the chains and the thumpy.
It is super important. It's like
and you've talked about it before too, you know, that it's all
because obviously I have a brain tumor and multiple sclerosis, and there comes a point in the day where, like, I have nothing left to give, and it's a very difficult thing to explain. You just have to know me and be with me to know that, okay, Shelley, you have pushed way beyond your limit, and enough is enough. So that, you see, I'll just keep going. You see, I'm so bloody determined. So this last, one of the last things when they did a photo shoot, we did the wax play stuff. To let you understand, because Stefan and I's time together is so limited in terms of personal time and working time, we end up like shooting sometimes 8 to 12 hours straight. And the wax play thing was at the end of a 12-hour shoot, and I was exhausted. There's no doubt about it. I was absolutely exhausted. That, you see, I was determined. No, we were doing this thing. So we did it, and the images were stunning because Stefan's work was spectacular. And he said, you need to go in the shower. So Stefan actually carried me to the shower and had it running in at the right temperature, and then had towels on the radiator waiting for me. And then when I came out the shower, he helped dry me and then carry me in the bed and everything. which was dutiful and very romantic, that also required I actually couldn't function anymore. I was just done, absolutely done, that he took really good care of me. And that's really important. Really important.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And, you know, for you, it's not just the emotional, it's all the health and everything else. And so, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful part of your relationship, that that give and take, that is, you know, that people get a little jealous of in the vanilla relationships. I was having a, there was a thread on, Vlad was talking about, somebody had just mentioned offhand, there's this married couple that's on Twitter that has a very, you know, they're 24/7 dom sub, and they're sadist and masochist, and but somebody was commenting how close they were in their trust aspects and just all of the beauty in their intimacy, and how unique that was, seemed to be to dominant submissive relationships. And most of that is, it's unique because it has to be there. The play is dangerous. And so you have to be honest. Absolutely. You have to be honest about your, you know, even the mentally, you have to be honest about your triggers. You have to be honest about what you want and what you don't want, what feels good, what doesn't feel good, or what you can take and what you can't take. Go ahead, Reggie. And in marriage, people often aren't. We excuse it. That's what I meant to say. Go ahead.
No, I'll also say that the post, like after a situation, like being able to reconnect and but turn it off. I guess turning it off is a good word. But yeah, no, that safe, like that feeling safe after an intense, like, event is important.
Yes. I'm sorry, I was reading something. I cannot do two things at once. I was going to share this out again. So that's why I sound distracted.
No, I've been quiet just because I'm like, oh, I'm the young babe, yeah, in this whole group.
In this whole group, there's only two of us here. But yes, you are the young babe. Stefan is still here, and Steppenwolf came back.
Yeah.
But Steppenwolf is pretty young.
No, there are people on the text that I'm like, oh, I really like look up to them and respect them.
Yeah, C34 is young. Oh, and but Marie, she's the youngest. That's interesting. I actually was talking about it with my cousin recently. She, in the comments, in our culture, often think that we have to say yes to everything all the time because we are educated to always please a man, whether we want to or not. So, oh yeah, consent doesn't always happen. My question would be, what if you're in the play as a submissive in your head? You are in a place where consent isn't, you're just not there. You're not thinking ahead. You're so in the moment that consequences and thinking ahead and anything beyond that are just not there. You can't, you'd have to be asked directly. And if you're not asked directly, it's not a thing. It's not a question. It just, yeah. What happens then? That would be with consent. How do you know? You don't. I would think it'd just be in the relationship dynamic. You'd have to have somebody on the other end who understood that. Because I hear so much about consent, but what about when you are just so in the moment that you don't know it's too much for you? Like Shelley, all the time. If she didn't have Stefan to tell her.
Oh, I know, honestly.
to calm, because, you know, you were saying how you get all revved up and you're go, 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 and you get to that point, but and you don't always know. And you're like, you're looking, at your list. I've got 100 things to do. And he's like,
yeah, I think that's the thing. We know each other so, so intimately. He knows the way I talk or the things I say or the way I do something. He just knows. So even if I don't recognize it yet, he already has. And I'm like, okay. When he points out, I'm like, you're right. I have had enough, or I am too tired. I have to stop. that because he knows me so well, he in some ways knows me better than myself. So yeah. Which is funny because that's exactly what Stefan's just written down just now.
Yeah, the Dom should be able to read and interpret mood willingness.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right.
Doesn't the Dom ever get so involved in the moment too? Don't you ever get? I mean, you have emotions. You're not machines. You men are not machines, right? You must feel, get caught up in your own passions. I would think you're human, or are you all not? I mean, it's a possibility. I really don't understand the dominant mind yet, so it's still.
I don't know. I can't speak for Stefan. I think it's. I guess my welfare is the most important thing to him, over everything else. Even like when I'm really tired and stuff, and even though we're 500 miles apart. Like, sometimes I have a real problem sleeping at night because I have what I call racing brain. And it's because I am so high energy. I go 100 miles an hour every day. So does my mind. I am always thinking ahead. I've always got ideas. I'm always planning stuff. I'm a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. And there are some nights that I am so fired up that I can't sleep night. My mind just will not stop. So Stefan, blessing, I hate mathematics. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But Stefan also knows French. So he will read aloud trine numbers in French until I go to sleep. I mean, how amazing is that? I mean, that's he does for me.
That's gorgeous.
You know, that's the level of commitment he has. Although I think it's just because he's like, well, please, shall I go to sleep? I can't take another action on the list or tomorrow. I think it's maybe more to do with that. But that's the kind of thing Stefan does to me. And then
yeah, that is beautiful. It is beautiful, yeah. Stefan said when to my question, you know, it's difficult to explain my role is to respect boundaries, even if the sub doesn't see where the boundaries end. Yeah, I guess, you know, do you ever, you always have to have some kind of control. That's one thing that is the thing I pick up the most. When I meet a guy who is dominant very much on Twitter, I can tell immediately because of the control issues. That there is a level of self-control and of handling his space that is different from other men, that is just like an aura, and I can even feel it in conversations. And I had never encountered that, you know, in my regular life, not in quite that way, the way I had on Twitter. And I think that's because men in America have a little bit of harder time. My friend Ben, he's like, he kind of has to, he said once in a Twitch that he can't really out himself because of who he really is not so accepted in society anymore. You know, you can't really be, somebody else, HK, who has the other podcast has talked, and Shelly, you had an interview and I haven't listened to it yet and you haven't shared it out.
What one?
It's with HK, his lordship. What is his name?
I did share it. It's on the timeline.
Oh, is it? Because I'd seen it actually pop up in my and my podcast listens. I didn't see it anywhere on Twitter, and I keep forgetting to reshare it.
I think I'm one of these stupid bloody Twitter ban things again because my engagement on my own account's gone down. But yes, I have shared it.
I need to share it out because, but anyways, he was talking too, how kind of the dominant male isn't necessarily socially correct anymore. And so, but I was talking about the control issue. So even in passion, a dominant would have to have some level of control, which doesn't seem fair, actually. I don't know. I mean, I know you get a lot out of it, but it doesn't seem fair if you don't actually get to, I mean, I don't know. That's just my thought.
I know. Is Stefan still there? What do you think, Stefan? He's quite good at answering questions like this. I'm not so good at it. He's good.
I guess you get spanked and he gets to read to you, you know, prime numbers at night.
Yeah. So and like, see, even when they're 500 miles apart, you know, I'll just put my headphones in and he knows I can't sleep. So he'll just be talking out loud. He's trying to understand French. And then he's totally, I don't know, he could be doing it for 5 seconds, 10 minutes. I've got no idea. Just so that I end up falling asleep. And at some point through the night, I'm like, oh, I have to take the headphones out. Stefan's obviously had to end the call at some point. And I'm oblivious. So it does work.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It doesn't take much anymore to put me to sleep. So I don't I mean, it's staying asleep for me that is my issue. I can fall asleep at any point in time, but I cannot stay asleep lately. I was telling my doctor, no, I'm a cat. I sleep about 2 hours, 3 hours at a time, two or three times a day, you know, as necessary. Because I'm not that's working.
That's a good way to put it, is saying you're a cat, because my cats wake me up every, like, 3 hours. So.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing. The thing is, I have to remember not to eat every time I need to eat in a human cycle. Not eat every breakfast, because that's just a recipe for weight gain right there. Oh, my goodness. We have been on almost an hour and a half, so I'm going to wrap up this podcast. Thank you guys for coming on. Oh, there goes Shelley. Oh, are you coming? Because it takes too long to repost. And I just want to say, since I'm going to wrap up, Hansa described dominance in 3 gate. He did. And I need to go back and read those. And he talks about the dom drop, too. And somebody was asking about... wanted to write a story about a dom drop, because there aren't a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of literature out there. And HK also was talking about it. So I need to read that also. And it's not like I don't have access. Let me just, I'm going to plug Indulgent Desires. So Indulgent Desires is a digital magazine, and you guys need to go and subscribe, get a yearly subscription, because you get access to all this. It's not just, it's great photograph. It's great photographs. It's poetry. It's nonfiction stuff that's educational, like Hans's stuff about doms and being a dominant. But there's also stuff about toy product reviews. And there's some other stuff too that is just really wide, the nonfiction stuff. So, and then you have the fiction stuff, which is all kinds of stories. You guys are not limiting the kinks. There's like every
thing. We've also got audio from Ton, and you know, you're doing some for us. And
there'll be some audio, some great audio, some the visuals are great. It's a great digital magazine. It would be a great place to advertise too, if you wanted, you know, had a product you wanted to advertise.
Absolutely.
So I want to just put that out there. It's really quality. It's not, the thing is, it's, I just want to tell my audience, it's sensual and it's not safe for work, but it is very naughty, but it is not pornographic.
Very sensual, I think.
Yes, very sensual. Even though there's no part of the human body that seems to be hidden. It does not feel cheap and pornographic and home and exploitative. There's none of that. It is very much a celebration of being people, being human, and I love that about it. So I want to plug that. And the other thing I want to plug is I'm going to tag on to the end of this. The English gentleman is going to read for Posey's Churchgate for her story, and that's going to be great. He's a great narrator. He's actually really good. And like Tom, he has that great voice. And so he's going to read. I'm going to add that on. So hang on and listen to it. So thanks, guys, for coming on. And Happy New Year. We're going to be positive. I am going to actually live stream tonight. We're going to play a game if anybody is up. I know it will be, it's getting late. It'll be midnight there in England around, 4 p.m. here. So
yeah, because right now it's like 1 o'clock.
It'll be getting close, but I'm gonna podcast again probably around 6 or 7 because I want to hit that Eastern time, not be too late. And we're gonna play Cards Against Humanity, it's a knockoff version online. I can get 10 players in. You are welcome to join. I would love to have you. So it's 2050 here, and I don't know military time. I don't.
10 to 9.
Is it 10 to 9? Yeah. So yeah, we've got a few hours, but it's coming up. I didn't want to. I wanted to give a chance to make sure I caught all my friends overseas. It's already been New Year's in Australia and a lot of other places, but
I'm so glad we called in. I'm so glad we caught you as well. It's been great.
I love talking to you guys. You're so fun. Oh my goodness. And Stefan is right. I need not to mom you guys. I can't help it. I need to. I have this thing in me. I've been a mom for so long that I've not been an adult. I don't know how to have adult conversations anymore. I'm gonna apologize if I mommed you. I don't know how to have adult conversations. I'm working on it. I'm learning the process of having, you know, intelligent adult conversations without mothering anybody, but it's hard.
I think you're doing fantastic. We love you the way you are.
Oh, thank you. Reggie, and what did you want to say?
I just wanted to say thank you for everyone that like knows who I am or who has listened to me.
You're
like
infamous now.
Thank you for pronouncing my name correctly. You did very well.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, you guys are great. Okay. I will talk again and happy New Year's Eve.
Yes, likewise, Izo. Look after yourself.
This has been a great Isoellen Writes Grown Up Storytime. I want to thank everybody who called in, and somebody called in and I didn't know who it was, and I'm so sorry that I didn't answer. We were kind of in the middle of something. I wanted you to call in again, but I didn't know who you were. It really helps me if I know who you are when I'm in the middle of a conversation, if I've met you on Twitter. And if I don't know who you are and you want to talk, tell me what you want to talk about in the chat. I do want to give everybody a chance to talk. Thank you so much for joining me. I want to just remind you that your story is important, even if it's beyond anything that I've ever experienced. Your story has value, and that's what I'm reminding you of. That's all I got. I'm sorry. I'll talk later. I gotta go shopping, buy some prime rib. I'll be back. We're gonna be doing this New Year's Eve thing. Don't forget tomorrow. I'm posting 2 special podcasts. So yeah, we're going to celebrate this 2021 thing. Bye, everybody.
Tied Up Tuesday, a short story by Posy Churchgate. The webbing straps were never removed from the bed in the spare room. Each Tuesday found Evie bound spread-eagled to the bed at her master's pleasure. On a Monday night, he would set out what she'd wear, if anything. Evie rose early, set out his breakfast while making a small bowl of porridge for herself. Then she would shower and clean her teeth so she was ready to wear the restraints once her master rose at 7. She'd slip into the prescribed outfit, long striped socks, a Westby corset, the leather-bound harness, etc., etc., and made sure all the vibrators were charged. At any time of the day, her master might come to play with her. He'd rise from the laptop at his desk to stand in the doorway, surveying his obedient sub. If he liked what he saw, he would fondle and stroke her, every erogenous zone his to possess. Her nipples were his to pinch or clamp. Her pussy was spread open for his fingers, tongue or cock. If her pussy was already wet, he'd ask what she'd been thinking of. Sometimes Evie wore a ball gag, drooling as her master pleasured himself in her sopping hole. Other times he wanted his fuck toy to suck him till he came. Some days she'd lay alone, dreaming of touches and caresses which never came. Master had a deadline and worked solidly, no breaks. On these days, she'd lose herself in fantasies that he'd watch from the doorway, fisting his cock silently, observing his doll. Her nipples would harden and her labia glisten as juices rushed to lubricate her lush pink folds. Her ears attuned to his approaching trend, which made her pussy throb with hungry anticipation. If Master tied her face down, she didn't need a blindfold, but she knew to expect spanking or caning, sometimes butt plugs, while Master trained her to enjoy anal sex. She yearned for his touches and lived to please him. Her day as a fuck toy was the best of the week. He edged her with teasing or dement her with pleasure. It was all good for Evie. She wanted to serve. When his work day was over, he'd unfasten her bindings, rubbing her wrists and ankles before wrapping her in a blanket while he ran a deep bath. He'd supervise her soaping and shaving routine. Before washing her hair and drying her with warm towels, they'd eat a light supper together before retiring to cuddle in bed. There were no chores for Evie on a Tuesday. Being a fuck toy was all he required.